one of these days I want to hear a testimony of someone who was driving down the freeway and they saw a car in front of them go out of control, and all of a sudden this hand just came right out of the sky and straightened the van out, and they were shocked at what they saw. We've all been through situations like that. I lost control of the car one time in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and it was snowing, and traffic was going way too fast, and I changed lanes doing 360s and went through across three lanes of traffic and ended up on the shoulder and never touched a car. And it was just, I was facing the wrong direction, but, you know, nobody touched me and I never touched them, so. Well, Aaron called me Thursday night, I think it was, and asked if the message that I had prepared was appropriate for young people, and I said no. And so then Carol said, well, you know, if you pray about it. She gave me a topic, and, you know, it always works out. And besides, you know, all the comments and everything that were made here today kind of fits right in with everything. And that's always the way it happens. And I want to thank you all for allowing me to speak on a day when all the young people are here. It makes me feel young, you know. Thank the Academy for recognizing the fact that I'm still a young person at heart. I remember asking my dad one time when he was about 80, I said, Dad, you know, barring all of the physical evidence aside, how old do you feel? And he said, 19. You know, and it was kind of enlightening because, you know, I never knew my dad when he was 19, but he always felt that way. So, and we all feel that way. Doesn't matter how old we are, we always feel that way, which is a good thing. Well, on Thursday this past week, five Michigan teenage boys aged 15 to 17 were found competent to stand trial for second-degree murder. For those of you that live in Michigan, if you've been following the news stories, you're probably aware of the fact that back in October there were five young men, five teenagers, over in the Flint area, about 40 miles east of here, who decided one day that it would be a good thing to load a bunch of broken pieces of concrete in their car and take it to a freeway overpass and see what would happen if they started throwing rocks off the overpass. And there were three or four cars damaged. And at one point, one of the rocks that weighed about 6 pounds went through the windshield of one car and resulted in the death of a 34-year-old father. And they were obviously arrested when they were found. And they have now entered the court system. And obviously, their lives, as well as the life of a young woman and a child, have been affected permanently by the actions that they took. You know, what they did was an exhibition of both ignorance and indifference. Obviously, they may not have understood the consequences of their actions. That's the ignorance. And certainly the fact that they even participated in that showed somewhat their indifference to just other people and the fact that, you know, they are members of society. Now, we have all done things that we should not have done. And we've done them out of both ignorance and indifference. That's unfortunately part of the human condition. Nobody's perfect. That doesn't make it right, but it happens. And I've done my share of really dumb things. When I was about 12 years old, I wandered into the woods one day and found a nice sapling that I thought would make a bow and arrow, and it did. It made a good bow and arrow. I made the bow, and I made a number of arrows, and they worked pretty well. I made the arrows with metal tips on them, and I put fletching on them, and they flew reasonably straight. And it struck me that, you know, it might be fun in quotes, that if when my brother was riding by on his motorcycle and I shot an arrow through the front tire, that it would, bicycle. I'm sorry, did I say motorcycle? No, it was a bicycle. That if I shot an arrow through the front wheel, that it would stop the front wheel, and then my brother would fly over the handlebars, and that would be funny. And what I didn't realize is that there were two design flaws in my archery set, my bow and arrow. The first design flaw was the fact that that one arrow that I shot wasn't quite straight. And so when I let go of the arrow, it had a slight curve in it, and so it curved up, and instead of going through the spokes of the bicycle wheel, it hit my brother right in the side under his arm. Now, fortunately, he had his winter coat on, and it just left a mark. But, you know, he was young enough that it hurt him, and he cried, and he went and told my dad. And that's when the other design flaw showed up, because a bow makes a very good switch. And my dad used it pretty effectively to make me understand that shooting my brother was not a good idea. And the other thing that it reinforced in me was the fact that, you know, my dad cared a great deal about my brother, and I should too. And certainly that bow was useful in reinforcing that. And I am proud to say that I've never shot my brother again, you know, after many, many years. So the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is. It's singular. It's not plural. There are not multiple fruits. There is one fruit, and it is love. And incorporated in love are joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And certainly those descriptions are all basically incorporated in love, and love is the fruit of the Spirit. In the case of the boys in Flint, you know, the one that jumps out to me in terms of a description of what might have affected their actions is the word kindness. And this is the subject that Carol had suggested that I consider speaking on today. Certainly, if they had exhibited anything in the way of kindness, it probably would have affected the outcome of that situation. They probably would have not loaded the rocks into the car. They probably would have not gone to an overpass, and they probably would have not thrown the rocks at passing cars. And so someone wouldn't have died, people wouldn't have been injured, they would not be in front of the courts being tried for second-degree murder. When you look at the word kindness, if you look at synonyms for the word kindness, you will read words like affection, courtesy, gentleness, grace, graciousness, patience, sympathy, and tenderness. Antonyms or opposites of kindness are barbarousness, cruelty, hostility, indecency, indifference, mercilessness, selfishness, and thoughtlessness. And certainly I think when you think of throwing rocks over an overpass at passing cars, or in my case, shooting at my brother with a bow and arrow, the antonyms all come to mind. You know, hostility, cruelty, indecency, indifference, mercilessness, selfishness, and thoughtlessness. There's no thinking involved there. And it's all focused on what would seem funny to me if my brother went over the handlebars. Not thinking, you know, what would happen if he landed on his head or if I hit him in the side with the arrow. Now, had those boys in Flint or I exhibited any of the synonyms, affection, courtesy, gentleness, grace, graciousness, patience, tenderness, we wouldn't have done those things. And certainly there would not have been an injury that occurred or a death in the case of the boys in Flint. Solomon says in Proverbs 3, let love and faithfulness, or some translations say kindness, let kindness never leave you. Bind them about your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And that's the direction that we are all given, not only the young, but everyone, that the kindness never leave us. Proverbs 31 says, speak as if having the law of kindness is on your tongue. And certainly, you know, Jesus has told us in Matthew and the Gospels that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And certainly if you have kindness on your tongue, that's exhibiting the fact that you have kindness bound about your neck and written on your heart. And certainly the expression of kindness then is how we approach other people, it's how we deal with other people, and it's what governs our lives, so that we're not throwing rocks over overpasses or shooting our brothers with a bow and arrow. That it is that kindness that governs our life. How many of you have ever seen the movie, and I don't, is Aaron back there? At this point he is. How many of you have ever seen the movie Evan Almighty? Few of you have. Certainly there are, you know, things about that movie that probably are maybe objectionable to some people, but there's an interesting lesson in that movie. And I'm going to ask Aaron to play a clip out of it because it has to do with part of what we're talking about today. Go ahead, Aaron. Is the act of random kindness, the acronym for that is ARC at the end of the movie. It shows up. And that, you know, he brings that lesson home at the end of the movie. But the point is that, you know, it's acts of kindness that change the world because they have a positive effect on the outcome of a situation as opposed to the negative effect. And certainly, you know, those of you that have sat in church most of your life and you've listened to messages and you've been involved in the activities that we have at church, prayers and comforting people, you understand, of course, that our Savior was the perfect example of acts of kindness. And they weren't random. They were constant acts of kindness. And it was those acts of kindness that were a result of the fruit of the Spirit that lived in his heart. He forgave, he healed, he taught, he instructed, he prayed for, he blessed, he fed, and he saved. And all of those things are a result of an act of kindness on his part. They were not random, and they were as a result of his very being and his relationship with God the Father being written on his heart. There are consequences for everything that we do. And certainly there are consequences for the unkindness that we have perpetrated on other people throughout our lives. And, you know, the example in Flint, as horrible as it is a good example of what unkindness consequences look like. There's guilt, there's a trial, there's prison, there's death, there's an orphan, and there's a widow. And those are all consequences of that act of unkindness. Now, kindness also has a consequence. And certainly, I'm sure that you probably are aware of some just that you know of in your family or in your life. I'll just tell you one that occurred that was conveyed to me one time by a friend of mine. He was out grocery shopping one day, and he was at the grocery store, and he was in a rather long line in the self-serve aisle. And it wasn't the one where it was limited to 12 items or less. It was the lane that had everybody in it that was going to serve themselves, that had a cart full of groceries, including him. And he was about five or six people back, and the person that was at the scanner that was scanning their groceries was not doing well with the scanner. I don't know if they were unaware of how it worked, or they were just struggling with the technology, or what it was. You've all seen that happen. And he was irritated, and the people that in front of him were irritated by the fact that this person was struggling, and the groceries were piling up, and it was taking time. And he decided, you know, he was going to make some kind of a difference. And so he asked the person in front of him if they would watch his grocery cart. And he went up to the front of the line and on beyond it where the groceries were piling up. And he started bagging groceries for this person. While they were struggling with the scanner, he bagged groceries. And as he got them bagged, he put them in a cart. And about the time he finished up and the person came up to him, the next set of groceries was coming down the lane. And so that person thanked him, and he started bagging more groceries. And when he got that one bagged, another group started coming down, and so he just kept bagging groceries until all of a sudden he realized he was bagging his own groceries. And so he stopped, and he went up to the scanner, and his groceries were already paid for. Now, his three or four or five or six acts of kindness resulted in a reciprocation, and somebody bestowed on him an act of kindness. But that was a consequence. Consequences don't always have to be negative. There's a consequence to unkindness, and there's a consequence to kindness. And there is an ultimate consequence to all of these things. And the ultimate consequence is talked about by our Savior in Matthew 24. If you would turn in your Bibles over to this passage, and we'll talk about what the ultimate consequence is briefly. Matthew 24 and verse 31. Jesus was telling his disciples, "No one knows about that day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood," I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong passage here. Chapter 25, verse 31. So Jesus has been talking about the end time and the final judgment, and how it will be in the days of Noah. And certainly there's probably some correlation between what we see going on in society today and how it was before the flood. And in verse 31 of Matthew 25, Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those who are on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" And so the inheritance from God is the kingdom. And then he continues in verse 35, "For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat, and when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, and you gave me something, or you invited me in, and when I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And certainly these are all acts of kindness. And what we find out is these weren't just acts of kindness to someone that we know or to our Savior specifically, because what we read in verse 37 is, then the righteous will answer them. And so they're righteous because of what's in their heart, not because of who they knew. The righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? In other words, they didn't know it was Christ. They simply did it because it's what was written in their heart. They expressed kindness because that's what was the Spirit had put in their heart and had written on their heart, as we read in Proverbs. And it was a part of their normal course of life. It wasn't a random act of kindness. It was simply an expression of kindness. The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So we see the consequence of kindness is kindness. Christ, our Savior, has turned around and he's given us kindness back more than any measure that we could have given to him. And yet, it's the kindness that we express that results in his kindness back to us. That is the consequence for kindness. Now in verse 41, we read about the consequence for unkindness. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. And so this is the consequence of their unkindness. And they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? You see, they were exhibiting one, ignorance, and two, indifference, because kindness was not written in their heart. It wasn't the fact that they should have been looking for a specific person to be kind to. It's that their very nature was not exhibiting kindness. And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. And that's what Jesus did. I mean, we can read through the Gospels and we see all of the acts of kindness that Jesus committed. And to whom were those acts visited on? They were visited on the poor, and they were visited on the sinners, and they were visited on the lowly people, and the sick, and the deformed, and the disfigured, and the demon-possessed. All of those people were the recipients of his acts of kindness, including all of us as well. And certainly, you know, all of humanity will experience one day, hopefully, the expression of his kindness. And then Jesus says, and then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Those are the ultimate consequences of kindness and unkindness. And certainly, you know, we hear about that every week at church. But it's important that we understand that, you know, it is a way of life that Jesus expects all of us to live, not young and old, but everyone, because that is the consequence. And certainly, life itself has consequences, both good and bad. Cultivate the good consequences and make kindness a part of your life. Any thoughts or comments? We invite participation here, and we invite comments and thoughts. And anybody have anything they want to add? Gary?
Life. And by committing ourselves to Christ and letting His Spirit lead us in everything we think, say, and do, it's going to be on our heart and a natural thing. When someone needs us and we're there, we'll jump in and do it.
James had a comment.
A couple of testimonies I was going to give, but I just felt a little bit like it was kind of like bragging. I didn't want to be that way, but the past couple of weeks, you know, the Lord, I just thank the Lord so much for giving his Spirit and the desire to, you know, reach out to the needy, the lost, just people in general, and being, you know, keen and aware. So right now, you know, kind of a big spiritual battle in our life, but during that time, the Lord kind of spoke to me. He's like, you know, if you want me to move on your behalf in this trial, he's like, you need to keep your eyes on me. You know, you're looking at the trial and you're full of doubt and unbelief because you're looking at the storm. And so the Lord really, through his word, was speaking to me to be more aware of him, focused on him. So with that being said, you know, at work and heading to work, and luckily I'm self-employed, so I'm able to have a very flexible schedule. So Monday morning, I see a homeless man or a man collecting bottles walking down the street in Hazel Park, and it's really, really cold. And the Lord speaks to me. He's like, you know, I just felt in my spirit I wanted to help that man. I'm like, I need to help that man. I looked around in my truck, and he's like, and I was like, I need to give him some change. You know, he's collecting bottles. The Lord, like, do you think he really needs change right now? In my spirit, and I'm like, I got to get some clothes for this guy. You know, so, you know, I was about an hour late for work, but that's okay. You know, I can, you know, I'm self-employed. Well, I went to TJ Maxx and I got a bag of, you know, thermals and socks, wool socks and all this. And so I didn't find that man. You know, I went back and looking for him, but I had to get to work. I couldn't find him. Well, about 3 days later, I was going down 8 Mile, going between jobs, and I saw, you know, a bunch of homeless people there asking for money. And so I just pull off the shoulder there under the viaduct there at Woodward 8 Mile. I turn my hazards on, I get out, and I was like, and I usually don't record interactions like this, but I ended up recording it because I was going to go ahead, and I figured, you know what, I need to start recording these things and put them on Facebook so I can encourage the saints, you know. And so I get out, and I just impact this man and bless him. And, you know, I'd start talking about the Word and, you know, being in the Word, and I prayed with him. He prayed with me out loud, and he said he was a, you know, believer. And I encouraged him with a good word, and then I went and got him food, came back, and he was, like, rummaging around under a blanket. And I'm like, oh, there he is, putting them socks on, sure enough. And he was putting the socks on. And so that was one thing. And then another thing, probably about maybe 4 days later, so it was the next week, Monday, Tuesday, I was getting food at Wendy's real quick. And keep in mind, I'm struggling financially like a lot of us are. I had a dollar in my wallet. I actually used my credit card to buy my food. But I was getting ready to walk away with my food, and I see a young man, an African-American man, counting change in his hand. And I heard him say, how much is a bacon cheeseburger? And then I thought to myself, you know, and I was kind of busy to get back to work. I thought to myself, you notice that, you got to do something. You know, the Lord didn't have to lead or speak. And a lot of times he does, and I'm obedient. And sometimes, some cases, and I do it. But in this case, he didn't say nothing. I just noticed, and I thought, I noticed, I got to do something. I set my tray down, and I said, hey, let me get you a meal, man. He's like, no, let me get you a meal. Pick what you want. He looks over at the expensive meals, and I say, no, get you a 4 for $4 there, dude. You know, so, you know, he's wanting to get the expensive meal, but, you know, I really didn't have the money. You know, I had a dollar in my wallet. And so I give the lady my credit card and bought him a meal. And he's like, oh, thank you so much. I'm going to school. And there's like an alternative school over there. So he was like, he's like probably 21, 22. He said he was just going back to school to get his diploma and start telling me a little bit about his life. And so I took a moment to, you know, talk to him. I didn't witness to him. I didn't feel led to, but I just felt like connect with him, you know, as two men and adults. And I said, you know, you keep going after your diploma, man. I said, you know what? I did say God's got a plan for you, and he's going to open doors for you. I said, but you have to take those steps in that, you know, to in that direction for doors to open, like a good job, good career. I said, get your diploma. I go, I commend you for that. And I'm like, it's just an honor to bless you, you know. And so I bought him food, and, you know, he thanked me for it. And I just think it's just those are the, like you said, those are the evidences of the saints where we're open and willing to impact people, you know, through our busy lives. And you know, there's many times where we're not doing that, and we feel like we should have at different times, and that's okay. You know, we just grow from that. but the more we can be obedient. And then through all this, there's a couple of like Orthodox Jews, one being a contractor, one being a customer of mine, that I've been witnessing to them, and they're like really hungry, and just seeing the difference between the relationship with the Father and Yeshua. And they reject Yeshua, and that's fine. And they're always like, oh, we don't. I said, I understand y'all don't, the Jews don't, but what do you believe in your heart? You know, and so just ministering relationship opposed to religion. And they're going to their rabbis to question and stuff, and now their rabbis want to talk to me. I'm going to meet with some of these rabbis possibly, which is awesome. I'm really excited about it because the battle is Kabbalah Torah. And you know what I'm saying? And they all like really follow Kabbalah. I don't know if you're aware of this. Like rabbis, Judaism, mm-hmm. It's like, yikes, I'm learning all about this. So I'm studying a little bit about Kabbalah and learning. I'm thinking, oh my word, it's the same thing. All these religions are getting tied into. It's the interweaving of the seed in the world, you know what I mean? And mysticism, you know what I'm saying? How we're all, you know how it is, the Gnostic Christianity. Similar, you know, that's whole thing. So these Jewish people in my life, too, are really hungry to know the Father on a more intimate level and a more personal level, aside of, you know, kind of where we were all at, you know what I mean? We're trying to do the Sunday church, do the right thing, you know what I mean? And then next thing you know, the Father impacts us when he sees our hearts open to really knowing him and, you know, laying down our lives for him.
And, you know, the important thing is that when you are prompted, you have to act. Absolutely. One, you got to recognize the prompting, and then you got to act.
Absolutely.
So, anybody else? Dennis.
Well, first of all, thanks. It was nice to be reminded of our calling, the consequence. It's not that complicated, right? When it boils down to, you don't have to be a scholar to know what you just expressed. Well, one thing I wanted to address is just mention where the people are, they're ignorant, not knowing what their consequences of their actions are. And I think that's where I found, you read Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, where it talks about the young man, a young person, or young woman, where if you want wisdom to know your actions, if you read through that, essentially it's telling you, because when you're young, especially, you haven't, or even when you're older, you haven't experienced everything, and probably you never will. But God sort of has put in place some ideas and thoughts that he thought, you know, you need to know this because you may not know the consequences. I'm telling you what it's going to be. And so reading that Bible and accepting what it's saying, because there are, you know, appropriate warnings about being young and what you're supposed to do. So I think that's part of maybe the ignorance of not knowing God's word. So again, thanks for the message. But part of the ignorance, again, is getting educated about God's, he knows the beginning from the end, right? So he's telling you, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. It's a matter of believing it. So,
and paying attention.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Todd.
I liked how you brought up the situation when you were 12 years old. Because I think back when I was a teenager and, you know, just doing things to want to be engaged or involved or create a situation that, you know, would make you stand out in the situation. And I think a lot of times, at least for the teens and young people, the idea of relationships and wanting to feel important or a part of things that sometimes can, like what you said here, ignorance and indifference. You know, you put those things, the thoughtfulness of, or thinking on the things of others, because, you know, I'm going to be funny and everybody's going to laugh, or I'm going to do this and everybody's going to think I'm cool or smart, or and maybe not think through how that affects somebody else, because you're just thinking about, you know, wanting to belong or be a part of things. And that stuck out to me, because I thought back in things that I've done and kind of learned from over the years of, you know, not taking some of those things into consideration and the outcome that can have and the effect that can have on other people. And sometimes you don't even, you know, as a young person, you don't know the impact that your words or your actions have on another person, because they're not going to tell anybody. They'll just kind of internalize it, and it'll kind of affect the way that they think and the way that they operate. I know there's been things that happened to me when I think back, I'm like, man, I'm 42 years old now, and that's affected me for years. I had some things that happened to me, interactions when I was 13, 14, 15 years old, And it, to this day, sometimes those things will come into my mind, and I'll have to battle them. Or, and you don't even necessarily think about that in the middle of it. So I just thought that was really good because it kind of ties in. It caused me to think, and hopefully, you know, our young people here today, that it really struck a chord, because I know that that's things that I see, you know, just observing our youth. And, you know, something to be conscious about. You know, I see it with my children at home, the way that they'll behave with one another sometimes, and, you know, not the unkindness, you know, the unintended repercussions of unkindness has some lasting impacts that, you know, they don't think about when they're in the middle of things. And also, on the flip side, the acts of kindness, how those things impact. So I appreciate it very much.
Dennis. Go ahead.
This has nothing to do with me, but it's a story Michelle and I are quite familiar with. You remember Jay Kellogg?
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy we went to in college, very funny guy. We love the guy. We were neighbors in California, but we went to college the same time Carol and Jeff and Ellen were. But anyway, he told a story. He was a Vietnam veteran, and he had three kids then went to visit because we were going to the same congregation. Well, he lost his job one day, but he always talked about liking butter. Michelle remembers. So one day, my wife said, you know, just because she knew he liked butter, she brought, was it a stick or a pound of butter? Just, you know, just to commiserate with his job loss, and he likes butter. So she brought it without thinking anything. I mean, what's the big deal? It's only a pound of butter. So when she gave it to him after services, we were at their house, he paused for a minute. And, you know, that was not a reaction. You know, you'd say, well, thanks for the butter, right? Bye, thanks. Well, in this case, it got him into thinking in the past years. Apparently when he was in Vietnam, he was talking about this. There was an old man there who would come to the camp, and of course they're in poverty, and he's asking for food, but before they would give him food, they would make him, like specifically butter, they would make him dance, you know, just kind of like a monk, just make him, make fun of him. So he would do him the dance, and they're laughing their heads off, of course, then he would give him the butter. Well, now that he lost his job, and Michelle gave that butter, it kind of reminded him how cruel he was to this old man, that God was saying, do you remember that time you made fun of this old man, made him dance to get some butter? Well, buddy, here's your butter. And it really struck him as a moment of, you know, thinking back, like, you know, that was not a good thing. God somehow is a way to coming back and saying, I want you to learn a lesson. That was not very nice to treat people that way. And so out of that little stick of butter she gave, there was a lesson to him that he didn't really anticipate was going to happen. But I thought that was so stunning to me as an example of an act of cruelty or unkindness. Now God is reminding him, you got to be kind.
Yeah, guilt is certainly a consequence, you know. And, you know, when you understand that that's probably not how you should have done things, you know, it's still there. You know, you still remember. So, any other comments? Gary?
I want to emphasize the idea that our human nature causes us to want to do evil from time to time. Something in us just says, I'm going to get in trouble. The only way this kindness, truly godly kindness, can come out is to understand Christ as your Savior. To really put that into your heart and to trust with all your might and all your being that He is your Savior allows the Spirit to guide your life into these kindness things. It's not something where through your human effort or your smartness as a person, it's only through God's Spirit that true, sincere, heartfelt kindness can come out. And we just can't forget that Christ is the beginning of it all.
Any other comments? And then let's see.